Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to One Designer, Two Ideas. I'm Pam, your host and redesigner here. We come your way each Monday at this 7:30 hour through the facilities of blogtalkradio.com. This network is filled with a number of talented hosts presenting shows on a number of topics. Page through the programming page to find a show, in addition to mine, that may interest you. I hope you guys had a great weekend. I did. I ran into a few friends at Walmart. Don't you just see everybody at Walmart? I hadn't seen these guys in a while, and it was really nice to stand in the aisles as people walked around us, catching up on things. So, you know, but I think, honestly, I think that other than great prices and great shopping, I think that's what Walmart is. Everybody goes to Walmart, and you see everybody when you're there. Well, today's show, Horror or Dream, the One Designer, Two Ideas Checklist to Open Houses, is all about things we find at our trusty open houses. I have visited a few myself, some good and, well, some not so good, but always a learning experience. But I love going through them. It's nice to see how stagers do them, dress them up, and get them ready, and even the ones that are not staged, they're just beautiful homes, and it just gives you a sense of where you would like to see yourself in the future. So, how did open houses ever come to pass? Well, according to information at Realtor.com, open houses, or as they were called, open house inspections, has been a part of the home for sale process for a while. Called the Wild West era in real estate, before 1919, no one was required to be licensed to sell homes. History tells us that any Joe or Josephine could declare him or herself a real estate broker. One house for sale could have legitimate realtors as well as curbstoners, and that's what they were called. Excuse me. Curbstoners were people considered to be, dishonest brokers trying to find a way to sell the home. They say to make a quick buck. Well, there could be a dozen signs on the lawn of a home for sale. Buyers would either choose someone they knew or take a shot in the dark and pick someone out of the crowd to deal with if they were interested in buying the home. And they worked fast, trying to bring the best deal to the homeowners to get that house sold. Banding together, legitimate real estate agents formed the National Association of Realtors in 1908. There had to be a better way, they thought, to sell homes, and they worked to make changes within the industry. For starters, they created the exclusive contract. This was and is today where a single broker would be assigned to sell a property. That broker then represented the homeowner in the sale of their home instead of anyone off the street. Brokers now had access to the property and its owners and could invite the public in to tour the house, and that is where open houses began. The first recorded open different from today's open houses, brokers spent all day at the home welcoming potential buyers, detailing the conveniences available in the home, its architectural concepts, and how the builder incorporated these features. Brokers did not have multiple listings then, as they do today, and could give one seller their undivided attention until the home sold. Well, that changed in the 1930s as real estate companies began to employ multiple agents, allowing agents to take on multiple listings. Well, between 1930 and 1940, real estate agents saw the open for inspection as a personal marketing tool, using the contacts made there to contact those that visited And try to find a home. If this home didn't fit them, trying to find a home that better suit their family. The term open for inspection changed to open house in the 1950s. Listen, if you guys want to call in and you have some stories to tell us about open houses, some that you visited, give us a call here in the studio. It's 1-347-326-9930. That is 1-347-326-9930. And friends, you guys that have followed me know that I've had trouble. Now, I won't say trouble. I will say issues with the chat room. Well, it's open. Anybody want to chat and don't want to talk, call in and talk to us on the air, can offer their comments or questions or, you know, whatever in the chat room. So that is that. I got it open. I was so proud of myself. Anyway, back to our show. The term, as I said, the term open for inspection changed to open house in the 1950s. Today, a great number of people attend open houses for many reasons, from new buyers getting their feet wet to serious buyers who like what they see on paper and online and about a specific home and just need to verify what they think they know about the house. Whatever the reason, the open house aims to please. Some homes are staged by stagers, some are empty, and some are partially furnished. And depending on where it is, open houses include a lot of incentives to be lavished on those in attendance. According to Realtor.com, the concept of the open house is ever evolving, but the reason it began offering a potential buyer a look inside and up close and personal to learn about a property has remained the same. It gives a potential buyer the opportunity to stand and sit where they might one day, ask questions and get answers about the home, its land, and get a sense of the location and the neighborhood if it's new to the buyer. So I'm going to take a break here, and I'm going to give you guys a chance to call in or visit the chat room. As I said, the number here in the studio was 1-347-326-9930, and we today are looking at the horrors or dreams and the history of open houses. We'll be right back. Hey, everyone, and welcome back. As I said earlier, I have been to a few open houses and dreamed the dream of one day living in that home, in a home just like that. But also been to open houses that made me wonder if the seller, if the seller cared. One in particular was one I just happened to bump into my friend John. He is a real estate investor. He buys homes, fixes them up, and sells them sometimes. He has kept a few, and as he says, he has become a reluctant landlord. I think he's really funny. He and his crew do a magnificent job on remodels, so I know his work. So when I saw him walk into this open house that I was at, I felt better because I knew John would know what could make this property a good investment, and he and I might have to duel. Well, not really, because his wallet would kick my mind to the curb anyway. So he and I grabbed the cookies and the lemonade and started talking, and then we began to walk through the house. Here are a few red flags John noticed right off the bat and mentioned. As I researched red flags, I found John to be spot on. Okay, cracks around the door's edge. And I actually noticed this. It was the door that led to the patio. John said that could mean the foundation has shifted. In an article in the HGTV magazine on the topic, the writers of the article said this issue could signal that the house has shifted and there is a potential structural issue. John said it, and he said it would be expensive to fix. Next, a musty smell in the basement, and we did notice that. John said it could be water wetness issues that could involve mold. He asked the agent if there had been any water damage in the basement. I really don't remember what she said, but he did ask her. And then an odd placed piece of furniture. Well, what is behind the dresser sitting oddly against the wall in the living room? And then we were wondering, why is a dresser in the living room? It was a high placed, it looked like a dresser, but it could have been a high placed table, and John went to look behind it. He said he couldn't see anything immediately, although, you know, he was still kind of, you know, kind of worrying or thinking about it. So I really, honestly, I had seen enough. We'd walked through the house, we smelled the basement. There were some things that I didn't feel comfortable with. And then when John was, you know, making his points, I'm thinking to myself, I don't know. And in my head, I could hear the cash register chinging way past what I had in my savings. And it was, I was so over it, as the Kardashians say. Each time since I visited an open house, thanks to John, I feel like I'm open house savvy. Well, maybe savvy is not the word to use, but I feel that I'm more educated now that I know what to look for at open houses, and I can be aware of things. He ended up not buying that house. He did buy, I guess I left and went home. He went down to another open house of a house down the street from this one that he and I were together, and ultimately he ended up buying that one. And restored it. I went when he was remodeling, and I was really, well, I said earlier that I have been impressed with John's work. His crew is just, they know exactly what they're doing, and it just looks, you know, looks so nice. And I think because he is aware of different things in homes, he keeps an eye out on things that would cost the new homeowner money. Right off the bat. So I feel confident that he knows exactly what he's doing. He will remedy anything that he can. And you know, I think he does a fantastic job. So the house that he did purchase and he bought and resold before he resold it. I saw it in two stages. Actually, I saw it not too long after he bought it, and him and the guys were working on it, and then I saw it again because actually he held an open house. He held an open house, and I went, and that was really cool to see him hosting an open house. So the house really did look good. So I think he knew you know what a potential homeowner would be looking at. He was cognizant of anything that needed to be fixed, and I was very happy that he had a chance to sell it. So some other things that I want to point out, after I went with John, well, we didn't go together. We just kind of ended up at this house, and he kind of showed me some things and informed me, made me aware of things. I haven't been to an open house since without noticing these things. So at the article that I read, along with some other research that I did about open houses, I want to give you some more red flags. If you guys are interested and you're looking for a home to buy and you're going to open houses, these are some things that I found that could be red flags about the house. We already mentioned, you know, the musty smell in the basement and the cracks around the door and oddly placed furniture. Well, here's some other things to think about. Number one, wood floors buckling or a floor that is uneven. An open floor plan in a house built in 1902. Make sure the weight-bearing wall has been, that weight-bearing issue has been addressed. If the weight-bearing wall has been removed to create, in a remodel, to create an open floor plan, you might inquire with the agent and make sure that that has been addressed, that the weight issue has been addressed. Now that you have, you know, an open floor plan in a 1902 home, weight-bearing issues could be a lot of money to fix. Make sure you ask. And we talked about the oddly placed furniture. A dirty and unkept interior. And you wonder why a seller wouldn't clean a house. Now, it could be where it could be a pre-foreclosure. It could be an estate sale. There's many things. If the agent hasn't, you know, verbally said that at the open house, you might want to ask. Gutters filled with leaves, limbs, and debris. Siding of the house is buckling, foundation issues. I was talking to my son, Raymond, about this, and because they were looking for a house, and the house, the picture of the house online seemed to have a little buckling at the bottom of the siding, but before where the foundation began. And I remember asking him about that, and he said that means that there's issues with the siding and the structural. It's structural, and it could be the foundation. These are things that you might just make sure you want to ask with your, you know, ask the realtor that's there, and, you know, make sure that you know. Landscape is unkept. There's standing water in the backyard, and it hasn't rained. You're probably looking at a drainage problem. Not sure, but it could be a drainage problem. If water is sitting on the property rather than draining away from it, it will eventually produce a mold problem, which is costly to take care of. These are the red flags. I'm just giving the information. You find a dream home and you think it looks so good online until you actually stand in it. And yeah, that it's important for you to know what you're getting. So if there's any of these issues, any of these red flags at a house that you are visiting and they're holding an open house, you need to ask and make sure that you have the answers. Now, John pointed out something else. Roof tiles popping up. He says that is a surefire way to say that maybe the roof may need some attention. Are there water stains on the ceiling, or is there are there water stains that you can see that look like it were running down the wall, but they were painted over, and you can tell that. You can ask that as well. You can ask that as well. Look up and if there are any bricks moving from the fireplace, from the chimney of the fireplace or the facade. That is something that you'd have to talk to a chimney sweep about. I'm not sure how much that costs. I do have a friend that is going through this right now, replacing bricks in a house that he's been in for a while, where the facade needed to be replaced. And he posted something on Facebook, and I immediately answered him because I had talked about replacing or repairing a chimney over a fireplace at the beginning of October during National Fire Prevention Week. That was one of fireplace safety was one of the shows that I produced. And so I knew that from my research, and it did help him. It did help my friend, and he actually had someone in mind. And when I gave the information to kind of second it, the person that he was thinking about calling, and when he pulled it up with the information and the research that I had given him, that person was number one on his list. So he knew that he had an idea. So, but I was very glad that I was able to help him. But a chimney sweep would be the one that would be able to help you if that occurred, or and you bought the house and that was an issue after you bought the house. Also ask about any off-limit areas. Ask the agent why, you know, is that door closed or is that door locked, or why that room is off-limits to people that are touring the house. You can ask how long has the house, consider this, how long has the house been on the market and how many price reductions have there been? Open houses is not only a way for an agent to open contact lines, but also for the public to get introduced to a property they are interested in. Ask the agent as many questions as you need to. Pay attention to their demeanor when answering. Body language says more than words sometimes. Don't get so bedazzled with the essence of the house that you lose sight on the home's condition. Pay attention while you are touring the home and during the open home inspection. If you like the house, remember the agent is representing the buyer. The agent on the premises is representing the buyer. So you might want to save your personal information for an agent that will be representing you. Contact a buyer's agent. John advises to interview a few. Then choose the one you like best that you can talk to, that you feel comfortable talking to, and they're not talking at you. Yes, they may know more about the home, you know, the house buying process, but you do not want to feel like you are being belittled in any way. It is your money, honey, as my mother used to say. It is your money, honey, as mom used to say, and you need someone who will partner with you, not walk ahead of you. Well, I hope this show has been informative. And the next time you are at an open house, that you think about these tips that we've talked about tonight. Thank you, John, for all your help. I have some website addresses that I'll put on the One Designer Two Ideas Facebook page about open house red flags, and so that you can refer back to them if you need to. Or, as I always say, you can do your own research. I do as thorough a job as I can when it comes to research about any show that I produce here at One Designer Two Ideas, but it is nothing like you doing the research yourself, because you know exactly what you want to know. I can give you general information. I might not have answered a question that you might have had a question. You know, I might not have answered the question you might have had about open houses tonight. If you have a specific question, feel free to get online, ask an agent, call a broker, call a buyer's agent. You make sure, because during this process of buying a home, you will need some expert advice, and having a buyer's agent, you know, will be the one that's representing you. That's why I said the agent at the house during the open house is representing the buyer. You need a buyer's agent, someone that has what you want in mind. So I'm going to take another short break, give you a chance to call in if you guys want to, or visit the chat room. If you have any issues or you have any questions, go ahead and ask them or post them. I'll be right back. Back again. Thank you for joining me tonight. I really, really appreciate it. I have thoroughly enjoyed presenting this show. And now that we are in prime time, I'm looking forward to big things, that more people will be able to listen live instead of listening to the podcast. I don't mind you listening to the podcast. I'm just glad someone is listening. I think it just would be good, and I would appreciate it, you know, if you guys could listen live. And if you have any questions or any comments, you can always call into the studio and share them with us. So please join me on Thursday at 10 p.m. for the One Designer Two Ideas Decor Short and Preview show. That is, that, as I said, that's every Thursday at 10 o'clock. And then we will be right back here next Monday at this 7:30 hour. How much fun has this been? I am so happy to be in prime time. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank you for joining me. Let me give you the One Designer Two Ideas Facebook page so you can leave any comments. If you have any comments or questions about this show or any show that we produce here, feel free to leave them. The address, the Facebook address is www.facebook.com/OneDesignerTwoIdeas. That is www.facebook.com/OneDesignerTwoIdeas. Well, this has been a blast, and I am so happy to be in prime time. So please make sure you listen to us on Thursday at 10 o'clock with the One Designer, Two Ideas decor, short, and preview show. And then again next Monday night at this 7:30 hour. Thank you so much for joining me tonight. This has been Pam for One Designer, Two Ideas. Please enjoy the rest of your evening. Thank you.